is right in the world, gentlemen. We are out of lockdown tomorrow here in Victoria. There's going to be crowds at the G. We can get back on the golf course.
Not this weekend. There won't be crowds.
Why not?
Because we're not playing in Melbourne. Well,
I got a WhatsApp last night.
Next weekend.
You got to be careful with your WhatsApps.
I got a WhatsApp last night that said that we are out of lockdown. Yep. We can go 25 kilometres from our house. We can play golf. You can go to. You can't go to the movies. You can go to the pub.
50 people at the pub.
Pleasingly, in the middle of winter, you can go to an outdoor swimming pool.
It is confusing, but what was good last week was how good was the footy last week, particularly the Friday and Saturday games. We started with Melbourne-Brisbane, which I thought was a cracker, into Sydney-St Kilda, which I thought was going to be a pretty ordinary game, but it turned out to be a ripper. Collingwood and Adelaide was probably just about the best game of the round. And then the Dreamtime. I know that Richmond won comfortably in the end, but Richmond, Essendon got in front. They're exciting. And the games on Friday and Saturday were outstanding.
Yeah, how good was Dreamtime at Optus Stadium? Yeah. I mean, that stadium was made for it.
Yeah, it wasn't it?
With the light show. But
Matty Lloyd made a good point that there should be more games played in lockdown when we can't have them in Perth and also in Adelaide. He said that the big slide should be played, that Queen's birthday should be played in either Perth or Adelaide in a parochial state.
It's being played in Sydney.
Why are they picking Sydney?
In State of Origin week.
I think it's easier. There's not as many restrictions in getting the teams into Sydney as it is Adelaide.
It makes sense. It's a good point. Because Optus Stadium, I've only been there once. You guys obviously been there a lot more. It's incredible.
It's the like noise, a Coliseum.
Isn't it? Yeah. The noise. And you're sitting right up on the players and the noise.
The best venue in Australia at night. It's a night venue. It's unbelievable.
So with Dreamtime at the G, clearly next year if we're back into a normal scenario, it's going to be at the MCG. But would you take it on the road every third or fourth year, maybe?
I think so. I think at the MCG, it's at the Coliseum as we know, it'll be great. But I think it probably won at the MCG, then go to the top end. I think last year's at the top end was unbelievable.
I think if it goes on the road, it should be every third or fourth year, and Darwin, because the Indigenous communities up there love it.
How's Sook Hardwick going to put up with that? He doesn't like travelling the extra 3 kilometres to Marvel. How's he going to like travelling to Darwin, the big Sook?
Oh, he's had a whack at Dimmer.
Right. Yeah, well, he's a sook.
No, he's not.
What do you mean? He's a massive sook.
He's a triple premiership coach. You don't become a triple premiership coach by being a sook.
I understand his credentials, but he's a sook.
He's whacked Dimmer.
I have whacked Dimmer.
For Dimmer.
Well, I'm just saying he wouldn't take.
But no, he would love it.
He just joins the ever-growing list of people that hum a whack.
From that game, though, Bolton and Darcy Parrish just had magnificent games.
Well,
I'll put the question to you. You're both Richmond men.
Yeah.
Would you swap Bolton for Parrish right now?
Well, they're both out of contract at the end of this year, so it's an interesting argument. If you were picking your team now, who would you... If you could only have one of them, who would you pick?
I'm taking Shea Bolton, because Shea Bolton can go into the midfield and he can get 30 disposals. He's not a 44 disposal player. I think Darcy Parrish has taken a quantum leap this year. Love to have both of them, but if you want who's going to win the game for me, we saw Shea Bolton was the man who won the game last week with fewer possessions. I think he had 22 and kicked three. Darcy Parrish had 44, only kicked a handful of goals this year. So for me, being able to play midfield and kick goals is, I think it's elite.
Yeah, I would take Bolton for the goal-kicking reasons. Yep. But have you ever seen a player so elusive as him? He's a bit, maybe Gavin Wanganeen. Remember Gavin Wanganeen?
Yeah.
Like they used to call Gavin Wanganeen the rubber man. Well, Bolton's got that, I reckon.
Yep.
He is so good to watch.
Hey, the man that knocked you off, correct me if I'm wrong, you did have the record for most contested marks in a game.
Duck. Wayne Carey.
Was it? Duck's Carey, got 10.
Aaron Norton took nine against Richmond.
Nearly beat him. Is he now... After another incredible...
But before that, if you speak to Duck, though, he always says they didn't take these stats back in the early to mid-90s.
Which is actually true.
That's right.
If you go on Final Siren...
He reckons there's games where he thinks he's taken at least 15 or 16. He also said to me last week, he's going home to start a fire, because it was quite a cold day on Sunday, that he was going to start a fire at home, obviously, to open fire. He is the best fire starter in the world.
He said he
can start a fire quicker than anybody else in the world.
It doesn't surprise me.
I love that story when you told it last week.
He did tell that last week. He did tell it last week. That's why we'll move on. Is he the best contested mark in the game?
Aaron Norton, clearly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because he throws his body at it.
They're like, when the ball hits his hands, it's like a vice. Like, he is just sensational.
Well, they've got such big hands. It's like, it'd be like us, or not you, it'd be like me or another suburban footballer playing with a size 3 footy. Because their hands are just so big. He could mark it like a tennis ball, I reckon, just in the one juke like that. What about the top eight? Is it completely set? Is it now time for the bottom eight teams to start just putting some players away in the garage, maybe playing for draft picks, because the top eight is set.
Well, it looks that way, Nate, doesn't it? I think, look, the way Essendon are playing, I think they can compete with those top eight teams, but have they? They're two games out.
They're the only team. They're the only team because they've got a percentage of 102,
yeah,
and we know they can kick big scores. So for me, vulnerabilities around West Coast and maybe Sydney. I think Sydney's fallen over the last couple of weeks. They'll play enough games at home to get up the line. If there are two sides, I don't think Richmond can fall out with the players they've got coming back and how well they play late in seasons. Their record post round 10 is outstanding. So if someone does fall out, Sydney, West Coast, but I think it's pretty set.
And the thing with Richmond is after this weekend's game against West Coast, they'll have played every other team that's inside the top eight.
Yep.
Their run home's,
they get a good run.
Their run home's good. I think it is set, Hummer.
I'm going to bring back a segment that was very popular last year.
Can I tell you about duck lighting fires?
Oh, God.
Tell us again next week, though.
Richo, we have this argument every single week we come in here.
Yeah.
We do this run sheet. We swap ideas all week. You come with nothing. Like,
it
sometimes
doesn't bring anything
the only
to the
time
table.
You'll ever... only time you'll ever submit anything is when it's about you.
Yeah,
it's a video that you've filmed or something that you've been caught doing in the media. And then the run sheet comes out. You don't read it until we sit down.
Nobody does, huh? He saves all of his good stuff for Friday night footy.
Triple M.
On Triple M. Why don't you bring something to the table here?
I'm pretty sure there's
who's
a
your
few,
main
few
employer?
Things in this that I have brought to the
actually,
table.
He's got
actually,
one thing
I've
today.
Actually given you one that he doesn't even know about. There's a couple he
that's
doesn't
true.
Know about.
That's true.
So,
but I'm bringing back a segment that we had last year.
What is it?
Do you remember who would win?
Yeah, I like that.
So when we, I would
have
a hypothetical
18.
18 versus 18. So we're gonna bring that back this year. 18 Marcus Bontempelli's.
Yeah.
Versus 18 Christian Petrarca's.
Ooh, geez,
that's a tough one.
I couldn't answer it myself.
I think Bontempelli. I think he's taken his game to another level, and he's kicking just a few more goals than Petrarca, and he's a better mark. Like he can take a genuine contested mark. Not that Petrarca can't, but they're hard to
see. The marking's the issue.
The marking is the
Bontempelli for me.
Yeah, the Bont.
Okay, now last week we said that if you had Brandy's skills in your body, you would have been one of the most magnificent players ever to play the game.
I don't shy away from that. If I had Brownie's skills,
all right.
I reckon I would have had a couple
of 10 Richos with Brownie's skills against 18 Brownies with Richo's skills.
But 18 v 10.
Yeah, but you've got Brownie's shitty work ethic. And
How many have I got?
There's 10 Richos.
With your skills.
With your skills.
Yep.
And 18 of you with Richo's skills.
I would back me in.
You have to go the 18, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah. 18 v 10. You've got 8 extra players.
Yeah, but you've got...
I mean, he wasn't that bad that he couldn't hit a target with 8 extra players. Like, he could shank a ball and obviously blow up like the best of them. But at times, he was okay.
But
his hands were painted on anywhere, like centre forward, but you get him up the back end, he really wanted to get rid of it quick. I don't want to kick it. So I think he would have been okay.
Hey, mate, just get your earpiece in order too. I would still back myself in with Brownie's skills. I would.
All right, what about this one? 18 Richos against 120 10-year-olds.
Nah, 18. 10-year-olds aren't going to beat
you. You got 120.
But once you get the ball, how are they ever going to get it back?
Just in the air, mate.
They can just tackle
you. Just leave it, put it in the air. They're not going to beat you. No chance. No.
All right, what if we made them 14-year-olds?
No.
120 14-year-olds. Some 14-year-olds can be good.
All you've got to do is put it in the air and I'm going to take a mark. Like, they're not going to be able to beat you.
18 Mason Coxes against 10 Hummers.
I haven't seen you play, Hum.
You wouldn't score.
I don't like your chances.
Actually, you wouldn't touch it. Mason would tap it down to Mason and you'd be just...
Brownie, we should go and watch him play one.
You should.
One weekend.
You should come down to the Snake Pit. It's good. We've got a great atmosphere.
Where's the Snake Pit?
In Canterbury.
Have you got a can bar there?
Well, you're allowed to drink till half time of our game because they're trying to encourage. Normally, the VAFA is alcohol free.
Oh, is it?
But we're trying to encourage the reserves to hang around so you can drink till half time at our game. But then, what you can do, some clubs might do this. You can pre-buy your beers, and there might be an esky that
like a lock-in
beers cold.
Can you? Yeah, you can bring them in.
Yeah, bring them in. Brownie, you did suggest a top five this week. You love a top five.
I did. I love a top five. So, I thought. so much about footy is being able to keep the footy and retain it. And in this day and
age, everything in the
being
game.
Able to kick the football. There are still players that I look at and they cannot kick the ball for some reason, and they on their opposite foot for balance, basically. But these are the top five kicks in football.
So
right,
are you talking
now.
Either foot or just their
just the best
right
kick, preferred
field
foot?
Kick or...
I think Daniel Rich is clearly the best kick in the competition. That left foot is a boomer. He can go short. He can go long. Think of the one up the middle in the game against Collingwood that he got to Bailey, just under pressure. He can do it short and long. David Mundy is silky smooth.
Yeah.
You don't often see him miss a target. Anthony McDonald.
You know what Mundy does before you move on? He waits his
the timing.
And he doesn't smash them. Nope. He just waits them perfectly.
Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, I'd put him in there left and right foot. He is that good. And his set shot goal kicking is the best in the competition. Liam Ryan, there's not too many that kick it as cleanly as Liam Ryan.
Yeah.
I think he's just a maestro by foot.
His field kicking, it's his vision as well. Like he can be looking one way and slice it the other way. He's magnificent.
And for decision-making ability out of the back end, I think Caleb Daniels' right foot is in the top five. So I'm sure there are players out that could be in the top five. But
what about Bailey Dale down back?
Yeah, he turns it over a little bit more.
Pretty good kick.
He's a very good kick. He's a very good kick. Under pressure, is he a good kick, though?
So can I throw yourself in there now?
Yep.
Who out of those five were you better than? Break yourself.
Oh, sorry?
Would you compare to those guys? Be honest, don't...
Yeah, number two.
You reckon?
Yep. Two.
Wow.
Why did you go one to five then? Normally a top five, you go five to one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should have done it that way. Eh?
Hey, when you guys started footy, it was a different era. And it was a time when you didn't earn enough from football to survive.
You had to work full time.
As we saw you in your first contract.
I know. I started in 93. I don't reckon it was until 97, 98 when footy became fully full time. Just after you started. You probably had 1 year. So there were some pretty ordinary jobs on offer.
So how did it work? Did you have to find jobs that are okay with you going to trainings and
Well, no. Nah, well, you trained at 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So I worked
So you'd only...
You worked full time and then you went to footy training.
When I first got drafted at the end of 96, so the pre-season end of 96, we started in October 1, I reckon.
Yeah.
Every session started at 6 a.m. on a Monday, a Wednesday and a Friday,
then you
6 a.m.
Work.
And then you'd come back later and do a weight session. So when I first got to the club, they were very big on either studying.
Or having a job.
So this was at the end of the year. So this is in October. So obviously study didn't start again until March the next year. So
what did you study?
They got business management. They got me, the Western Bulldogs got me a job at a little place in Footscray called Dimmies and Forges of Footscray.
No!
So I started and I was that tired. You wouldn't believe how tired I was.
What section were you in?
In the men's trouser department. So I'd get in there and these guys would come in and ask for trousers like a size 72 or a 77 or an 82. I lasted a day and a half and I went back and I said, there's no way I'm going back in there. I can't work there. I don't know anything about trousers. So it's not for me. I said, you need to find me
something
else.
What was your next job they gave you?
I was out at the Werribee Golf Club.
Oh, that's better.
That's a dream job.
Look, I've got a couple of stinking jobs here. So my best mate, Ben Harrison, that played at Carlton, played with you at the Doggies and played at Richmond as well. Played 160 games, Harrow. He was a good player. But we came over from Tasmania at the same time in November 1992. And Harrow's mum, who I know very well, Anne, she was a little bit concerned, you know, about footy and not having another career. So she spoke to the Carlton Footy Club. She said, look, Ben, I'm happy for Ben to come to Melbourne, but you must get him a decent job. You know, I want him to have a, you know, something outside of football. So you know what job the Carlton Footy Club got him?
Oh.
Grave digging at the Carlton Cemetery. Right?
No.
Grave digging at the Carlton Cemetery.
It'd keep you fit.
And it's the Carlton Cemetery is very old, so you can't get the you know, the machinery in there. So it was all hand. You had to dig them all by hand.
Now, is it true? And I don't know why I'm asking. Is it true that him and Matty Allen was there
one day,
they fell asleep on one of the graves?
So I went to I had a day off work and I went to find them. We were going to have lunch together and I walked into the cemetery and I'm walking around everywhere. I couldn't find them. And eventually down in the back corner, the sun was out. I found them asleep on a gravestone.
Come on, Aaron. Right,
Matty Allen, though,
Is he a grave digger today?
Didn't last long. Matty Allen then moved on and got another job. He was a janitor at the Eye and Ear Hospital just up here in North Fitzroy. And one day they thought they needed a little snooze. Him and another guy called Tony Lynn.
Why are you guys just sleeping the whole time?
Because of footy training. Right, so you're training and then having to go to work. Guys were knackered at work. So one day at the Eye and Ear Hospital, they were cleaners, janitors. They needed a kip, so they had a little snooze in the cleaning, you know, room where they kept all the mops and all the all the stuff, all the detergent. And their boss came looking for them, found them asleep. They got the sack.
I had a sleep on the first day at Forges at Footscray. Oh my God. I was that tired. I went in and had a sleep.
You guys are soft.
And then Maddie was the one. After that, he thought, I'll start my own business. You know, it's clearly not working, Carlton.
Yep.
So he thought him and a guy called Adrian Hickmont, who's now coaching at West Coast, they thought they'd start a gardening business. So they went out and bought all the gear, you know, the whippersnippers and the mowers, and they advertised in the Blues News, which was a newsletter that went out to all the Carlton people. The first job they got was a Carlton director who lived in North Carlton in one of those beautiful old Edwardian homes. And the director's wife had these beautiful rose bushes, right?
Oh, no.
So Agan and Hickey have rocked up with no gardening experience. And the lady's gone, just tidy up, you know, all the garden. They have mowed down all of the rose bushes. So that was the end of the gardening business as well.
What does he do now?
Matty, he's in advertising now. Ooh. He kicked on, actually.
Yeah. Another one we're going to bring back from last year. Now, do you remember we did the long sleeve team of the century?
Mm. Yeah.
We're going to do the same, similar concept. We're launching it today. We're going to start with the back line next week.
Righto.
We are doing the redhead team of the century.
So what do we want our listeners to do? Send through their...
Send through some suggestions. We'll cut this up. You can put the comment on the post on Instagram, Facebook.
Adrian Hickmont.
We want
in the back pocket.
Yep.
So any redhead you can think of, but I will say there is one caveat. Josh Thurgood is definitely starting. Because for me, he's the king redhead because he was as redhead as you can be.
There's some good backmen there. Dustin Fletcher, Tim McGrath. Remember Bluey McGrath?
Yeah, Tony Delaney.
Tony Delaney.
So get your suggestions in. We'll start building that next week. And then what we'll do is we'll play them against the long sleeve team of the century and see who might win. I wonder if there's anyone that's in both.
Well, there would be. Dustin Fletcher.
Oh, yeah, Fletcher will be in both. Okay, around the grounds. Now, I'm making a decision. I know, and I thank everyone that sends me in these beltings every single week, and it's magnificent. And look, I might stray. I'm not very loyal to this idea, so I probably will stray, to be honest. But I'm going to focus just on the one league. Now, it's a league close to your heart.
It is.
It is the North West Football Association down in Tasmania. Because I just want to – let's just go through this ladder here.
The NWFA.
There is fourth leading on 782%.
Jeez, that's
Motton big. Preston on 575%, Wesley Vale on 206%, and Sheffield on 321%. So you have got four sides that are above 200%, including the fourth on 321%. But then down the other end, as we go down, we've got...
So the finals in that comp would be the old Final Five Hummer team.
Yep. So poor old Sprayton might get through. Then we've got the Ulverstons, East Ulverston, West Ulverston on 32% and 61%, Turner's Beach on 32%, and Rosebery Toorak on 0.58%.
Can I just point something out? And this is so fourth. You've got fourth, Motton Preston, East Ulverston, West Ulverston, and Turner's Beach. I'm not joking. That would be an area of about 20 kilometres in radius. All those teams.
Well, here's the kicker. There is another league with actual Ulverston.
Yeah, that's the better.
So they've got three teams.
That's the NTFL. That's the comp above.
It's magnificent. Yeah. So I'm going to keep you updated. I can say this week, East Ulverston is versing Rosebery Toorak. So the old East might just get a win up this week.
Didn't we offer our services to Rosebery Toorak?
Yep. They haven't responded.
No.
Hey, Brownie, you've been in this caper a long time.
I have, Pum. I have.
You're on air a lot.
I am.
Would you say you're a consummate professional? Would you say you prepare?
You know what, he normally prepares, and he tells us, remember a few weeks ago we had that little clip from, what's the show you do with Damo and Lloydie?
Access.
Oh, research.
Remember he research, said research.
Research,
I
research.
Do my research. You said it.
Well, let's have a listen to the next clip and tell me how much research you've done, Brownie.
Anyway, what else have you got today, Brownie?
Flemington race number, as I bring it up, race... Three, just let me check that. Best of the day comes up in race one, number three, Pride of Jenny in Flemington.
Scratch,
although, scratch. So it's not going to be running today. you know what I did? I went straight to David Catley's best of the day.
No, it was a kid's day.
You're trying to pitch it.
He's rebranded David Catley's best.
I take Julian Balance's best of the day. I take David Gately's best of the day. And poor old David Gately's best of the day's been scratched. So I probably wasn't going to win anyway.
Randy,
yeah.
You have gone on air,
yeah.
Tipped the punters into a horse that was scratched. Not
scratched.
Recently scratched. It yeah. was scratched on Thursday.
Scratched on Thursday. So I do 3-wide no cover with old Suntan Julian Valance yeah. and little man Simon Marshall. And we've been doing the group ones which have been up in Queensland. So I hadn't looked at the right. Melbourne form.
See, did they throw that question without notice, did they?
Liam Pickering threw the question without notice right. late. So I'm trying to watch netball. The girls are playing. I've already done the whole thing about the Queensland yeah. racing. And then at the last moment, and I remember that I'd read that David Gately's best right. was that horse in
well,
Melbourne.
You didn't because you had to go find it again.
So
as
I
you padded for 30
well, I was
seconds.
Paddling because I was looking at my phone. And unfortunately, Matthew, it was great. So mistakes happen.
Everyone
know?
Has a bad day. Well, just...
Everyone has a bad day. Look, Hum has a lot.
You've had some bad days, Hum.
I've had a couple, but you know, I've never padded. I've never tipped the punters into a scratch horse. Hey, Queen's birthday is on Monday,
yeah.
which means one thing, and it's actually a little bit disappointing. We touched on it that the footy will not be at the G this week, no. but. There is still a slide will be going on. Have you gone down the slide? Of course,
I have,
speak
yeah.
of the Freeze MND slides, which is raising not just money but awareness for such yeah. a despicable
It's incredible
disease.
The amount of money that Neil's raised. What yep. is it, over 7-8 years now? It's just unbelievable.
It's amazing the difference one man can have, right? Yep. So he makes the difference, but then the whole footy community jumps on board. Yep. It's an unbelievable footy community, and you almost – go back to Nick Riewoldt and yeah. Maddie's vision as yeah. well. Had the idea, wanted to do it, the footy community get behind it. So
everyone gets behind
the
it.
The footy community yeah. is an unbelievable community.
And you can buy your beanies at
you
Coles.
You can, well, exactly. You can buy them at Coles, and that's what we're going to tell you right now. The footy community is great. We love our community here at Richo, Brandy and Hummer. So I'm telling you, if you're on the train, you're in the car, you're on a walk, whenever you're listening to this, as long as you've listened to it before Monday, go and buy one of these beaters. You can go to www.fightmnd.org.au. You can donate
yep.
or you can buy one of these beanies for $20. All the cash goes to such a magnificent cause.
I went out for a big walk around Northcote and Thornbury yesterday, and I reckon I saw half a dozen people walking
they're,
around.
Aren't
with
they? They're good. They're yeah. like I'm very sweaty already, so they're good. We're coming into winter.
It's cold.
So go and get them. They look good, as you can see. They look a bit better on me than they do Brownie. Why is your head so small?
He's got a pinhead, mate, hasn't he?
It's coming your way.
You look like a thug.
Yeah, you
I
do.
I look like a wharfie, don't I? Fightmnd.org.au. If
jump
every
on board.
Single one of our 10,050 listeners buys one, that's
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's 200.
Too much to work out. No, it's more. It's 2 million, isn't it?
200 grand.
200 grand that will be. So please, fightmnd.org.au.
Well, 20 times 10,000, Hummer, is 200,000.
Yeah, 200,000. Fightmnd.org.au for a great yeah, course. Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
I'll tell you what, it's that time of year. And make sure you get these guys.
They're a great beanie.
It's that time of year, isn't it? It's round 12, 13. We're in the middle of the year. It's winter. We've got so many footy shows that we need to fill up, minutes and columns that we need to write. So we run out of ideas, Hum, this time of year, and it does my head in. Every single year, the same little chestnuts bob up, Nato.
What do you got, Matt? What's
the
matter?
Same little chestnuts bob up. So this week I've heard again
chestnut.
The best of three grand final series. Give me a spell.
Oh, who brought God. That up?
It came up again on the couch on Monday night.
Who brought it up?
They brought it up on the couch Monday night, as I just said, right? Best of Sam Landsberger actually brought it up in the Herald Sun on Sunday as well. I love Sam. He's a great writer. But seriously, this is a combative game. You're not going to play a four-week final series, get into a grand final, and then play possibly three grand finals in a row. Yeah. Just ridiculous. Do you think so?
That is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Never
it's
happen.
Just silly. It's just never going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Why do we bring it up?
Never going to happen.
The other one
what
is the wild card round. We've already got eight teams in the finals. We don't want 10 teams in the finals, as has been suggested this week. It's not America.
You earn your right to be in there.
It's not the NFL. We don't need to have a wild card round, right? It's Australia. It's Australian rules. That's an NFL.
There's a lot
thing.
More teams over there as well.
Exactly. So it works in the NFL. We don't want that either. And the Dreamtime move, people saying it should move around. No, it should be at the G. I don't mind if it goes to... Listen.
He did say...
I don't mind if it goes to Darwin every third or fourth year because I think that is a great place to have it. But the showdown's not going to be played at the MCG. The Derby's not going to be played at the Sydney Cricket Ground. So Dreamtime is at the G.
NRL State of Origin's played at the MCG. You did say early on in the show that they should move it around.
I said Darwin. I didn't say Adelaide.
I did see Knight Grand Finals come up again as well this week.
Yeah, well, that's another one as well. Oh. That just does my head in every year.
He's angry. Start to talk about the All-Australian, which you're a selector of as well.
Oh.
That's meeting today, actually.
Got a meeting today. Yeah. Yeah. Who are you pushing for? Who do you think is a smoky? Give me a smoky, not someone who is a guaranteed. Bontempelli's guaranteed. Petrarca guaranteed. Give me a smoky.
Bolton.
I think, yeah, Shea Bolton. I think by the end of the year, he'll have worked his way into the
Do you have to be careful not to get your Richmond eyes on, you know, take your Richmond blinkers off when you go into this meeting?
Yeah.
I reckon, because you are a Richmond nuffy, I reckon.
Well, who would you throw up from Richmond today? Who would be your... Give us three.
I'd throw up Broad. I'd throw up Dustin Martin. Nankervis before he got injured. And Shea Bolton.
All right. Beautiful.
Hey, I've got a surprise. It's up next.
Surprised.
The lifestyle section's been very popular, mate. It was made popular during the summer series that we did for a couple of shows and then stopped. But I have often spoke about my love for frozen pizza and the fact that I've travelled the globe. I've been to Milan, I've been to America, I've been to New Zealand. I've had frozen pizza everywhere. But I found...
New York, Milan and New Zealand.
I found... A $2.99 pizza.
That'd be interesting. Where else have you been overseas? You look like a Thailand sort of guy.
I've done Thailand. I've never done Bali or anything.
You've been to Russia?
Yeah.
I've been to Russia.
How's the pizza in Russia?
No good. You know, in Russia, they serve pizza with chips.
That's all right.
Because they don't really understand what pizza is over there, so they put chips on it.
So this anyway, is the $2.99.
I have gone and bought this last night. Richo, grab a piece.
So this is from Aldi.
This is from Aldi. The $2.99 pizza, pepperoni pizza that I say is the best. Now, I will premise this. I cooked it this morning, but it's been sitting sweating in the container a little bit. Now, just get your fangs into this.
It's good.
$2.99.
How do they make money off them?
It's a question that will never be answered. You know, it's like, does God exist? How do they make profit off pizza when they're selling it for $2.99?
How many of these are you eating a week?
Of course, I had some bad cholesterol results recently, so I'm trying to keep it to six. Now, tell me that is $2.99.
That's good. I'm happy with it.
How good is that? Mm. It's got a nice tang.
Yeah.
The base is good.
It's pretty good.
And then to wash it down, have one of these biscuits. Now, ask me how much those biscuits cost, that whole packet.
How much those biscuits cost?
69 cents.
Rubbish.
69 cents for that packet. It is German chocolate. Now, everyone knows that you get the best chocolate in the world from Germany. It's a biscuit made in Sweden, and then they combine it together for what is one of the greatest biscuits you'll have.
I rate Audi. I do.
There's a health star rating on here, so you get five stars, right? For your health star rating.
Yep.
They've even bothered to put this on the packet, which is extraordinary, but it's 0.5 stars. So they've only been able to just rub out half of the star there. It has 36.4 grams of sugar on it, which I think they're trying to say is 6% of your daily intake, but...
That's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar.
6.4 grams.
See, that's a good biscuit.
See, I rated the pizza.
Oh, I don't like the biscuit.
Not so much.
Don't like the biscuit. No, I got the dark chocolate one as well, accidentally, instead of the... Oh, I meant to get the milk one. I grabbed the wrong one. But that pizza there from Aldi...
Pizza's good.
It is $2.99. I forget the brand name.
It's
pepperoni. Go out and get one.
No preservatives in there.
Mm. Well, that's why.
That. I don't believe
I mean, you guys
that.
Can just have
a ton of sugar.
But Richard, I want to ask you something because I saw this on your Instagram during the week. You tried your hand at lasagna. Now, we have a lasagna sponsor, so I'm not sure why I did it. Look at this. Now, if you fire up our Instagram, you'll be able to see
it. Who does that?
This is the secret ingredient. Now, people look at this and go, what
is that?
That is just your normal Heinz tomato soup. After you put your meat sauce down, your sheets, you put over the tomato soup, you put it in for about 25 minutes to half an hour, then you pull it out, put your mozzarella cheese on top.
Where's your bechamel?
No bechamel.
Bechamel's shit.
The tomatoes.
You're obsessed with it. I don't know why.
I'm telling you, once that comes out and the soup has seeped down through the sheets into the meat and the cheese.
Mate, that is...
My wife had severe question marks on it. She polished it off very quickly. Even your wife, Christina, she
was mortified that you actually put a can of tomato soup in there.
She was.
She's a bit of a food snob.
She's a very good cook.
Yeah.
She could not believe that. But I'm telling you, just give it a go, guys.
What sort of cheese did you put on top?
Mozzarella.
What was the response on Instagram like? Be honest.
Most people were shocked with the tomato soup.
What did you cook up with the beef?
So well, obviously, onion, garlic, a bit of curry powder, Worcestershire sauce, a little bit of tomato sauce.
Curry powder, a bit of some,
a tin of...
Which one, the orange one or the...
Curry powder?
The yellow one with yellow the red one. Lid. And a tin of diced tomatoes. And then just like a tomato-based sauce.
Yep.
And some...
No bechamel.
Wow. Oregano.
Wow.
There you go.
Very good.
Cooking with Richo. All right. Nuffy Ajar.
Who's up first?
Geez, I was shocked the other morning. I was driving around and I stumbled across the Marty Sheargold show on Triple M
yep.
Breakfast. And I'm driving up to get a coffee. We're in lockdown. I'm going up. It's my little outing for the day. And someone rang in the Marty Sheargold show.
You were listening, were you?
Okay. And rang in just unannounced.
Yep.
And told a dad gag.
And look, Triple M's very own Nathan Brown has given us a ring.
I've got my best dad joke for you.
All right, go for it, buddy.
I tell dad jokes. Sometimes he gets them.
Oh, mate.
Very good.
I don't know.
I like it.
I wouldn't play it on the hardware.
I like that.
I loved it. They loved it, hum.
I nearly crashed my car.
You ruined the delivery.
Brown
hell. So the joke was, because you said that dad joke. So
I said I tell dad jokes.
You said that dad jokes.
No, I didn't.
There was definitely a that in there.
No, there
was 100% a that.
What are you doing?
What are you doing calling up a breakfast radio station, you
Why
nuffy?
Did you ring Marty Sheargold's show and just decide to tell a joke?
Because I tell a lot of dad jokes at home with the kids, and I was driving over the West Gate. I think I was coming in here last Wednesday,
did it
maybe.
Just come to you and you just did it sort of?
I thought, let's get on the phone. This is what part of being a team's about. I work for Triple M, so I'm creating content, Matt. So
oh, you're creating content.
It up.
Friday night, we got something out of it. Okay, Triple M. Sunday footy show, they played that. Again, we're playing it today. This is content. This sort of shit just doesn't happen.
Dude, Marty, what are you doing?
Like, rundowns
around?
Just don't write themselves.
So, Nate, no, they
sometimes
don't.
You've got to write the rundown.
Oh, so, Nate, you certainly don't.
Did Marty and his producer know you were going to ring, or you just rang unannounced?
I texted the producer. I said, I've got a good joke.
I reckon he called us the hotline.
133353.
Yeah. Yep, he called in and said, I've got a great
That's
day.
Extraordinary,
content.
Mate.
And you right. butchered the delivery. Richo, I think you know... You've infracted during the week
what
and you're
going to
be in the Nuffy Jar. You know exactly what you've done.
Oh, so yeah.
Melbourne Cricket Ground put out a tweet. It's time for Tuesday trivia. Do you know the answer? Reply with your guess. The question was, who has kicked the most VFL, AFL goals at the MCG?
How excited were you when you saw that?
I was sitting there last night. I'd just had a bit of leftover Laz from Sunday night.
Well, you've quote tweeted it. You've retweeted it with a quote. Get around me. I'm happy with this. No shame. And the best part was Russell 29715153 replied, Tony Lockett 1360. And you've gone and replied to this poor tweeter. Not at the G, though.
Oh, you're trying to make him feel bad, are you?
You know what, guys?
Why are you ripping into poor Russ?
I'm not gonna
Russ
feel
in that little look how nice he looks in his little profile photo.
I'm not
gonna
show any embarrassment about that. If you, either of you two had kicked the most goals.
It's a good record to have, I must admit.
Just admit that it's a
good
record
to have.
All right.
You would have been excited.
When I saw that come up, I felt good about myself, Brownie. So anyway.
But Brownie, you've spotted something else. You have spotted
something. I've given you something. I want to see how you deliver this now. I've bought you some absolute Twitter gold here.
Well,
this is what bringing content to the table is about.
You know that I'm a very accomplished and decorated communications manager here at Sportsbet, so I write a lot of press releases. I've got fantastic.
Which I respond to all the time for him.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, I sent press releases yesterday, and Brownie just kept replying, taking the absolute piss out of me.
Right.
A great use of your time. Anyway, can we just get up your Twitter bio, please, Richo? Now, I'm just going to give you a little lesson.
What happened?
Look, the comma is supposed to go after the word, not before the next word. Channel 7, space, comma, 3RW, space, comma, music. Love. What? The comma goes after the word before the
space. What are you doing
space?
With your commas, man?
You know what? I've got to cop that.
You left school in year 10 and you haven't got any better
what
since then, have you?
What are you doing?
You know what? I was never any good at
it. So for those at home that aren't...
So tell me what I've got to do. Where does...
Pretty much, Richo has put...
The comma needs to go next to the Channel 7,
right.
Basically.
So Channel 7,
and they're going to pick you up on a little bit more.
Right.
Some grammatical errors.
Right.
There is no need for a capital M in music.
I get that.
There is a need for a capital T on the Pat Cronin.
What?
So, okay, and then you come down here at foundation. You need a space in between foundation and your colon there.
What about
or your stroke?
So why is Pied Pipers and Windermere a capital there? Is that all right? Is that right?
Yeah, but you need a capital on the T.
Yeah.
Okay.
That.
That's good. I'm going to take that on board. Yeah. Should I change that?
So did you honestly think when you put in a comma, it goes up against the word, the next word?
Prospective employers might be going, oh, I need someone to do something for me. And I've come to your Twitter bio.
Have you ever had to write or anything?
I was hopeless at English, but I'll tell you, I was very, very good at mathematics. Very good.
Really?
And I think maths will take you further than English in life.
God.
Numbers will take you further.
How old are you, Richo?
Hang on. What are you going to use mathematics for in the future? You tell me. So all of a sudden Channel 7's not there, 3W's not there. You tell me what you're going to do in the field of mathematics.
We'll work out what the mortgage repayments are and all that sort of stuff.
But hang on. You've got to bring money in to pay those mortgage repayments, okay? So I want you to tell me in the world of mathematics what you are going to do to bring money in to feed your family.
Well, get on Hummer's Seek page and I'll find a job in maths.
I just can't believe that you're, 40?
Yeah, 46.
46.
I admit that.
That you spent the 46 years not knowing that the comma goes after the word, not in front of
a space, then a comma.
That's fair enough.
But he puts it at the start of the next word.
I'm going to take all of that on board.
And we got one more. We got one more. Our good friend Roko has absolutely potted you. Now, he doesn't like Triple M much, old Roko.
Is he potted me?
He's got a buzz. He's got a bee in his bonnet. So he must have been listening to Triple M. Say g'day to Luke, everyone. He'd seem to fit your Triple M sort of demographic. Loves getting around the boys. Thinks JB, Purple, Wolf, Brown Dog.
Is that me?
Brown Dog, Donga, Big Balls and Co, bloody legends. Once got a selfie with Duck. Good on you, Luke, you great man.
You know what? That's pretty funny by Roko.
Donga and Big Balls.
Even you've got to admit
I'm laughing. I read it and I laughed. I thought it was very, very funny. So it came from the fact that obviously Brayshaw was calling Lukey Jack or Luke
this
Jackson, Lukey Jack
footy.
On Friday Night Footy. Yeah. And Roko wasn't overly happy with that, but then just rolled everybody with Donga and
Big
Balls.
Roko.
Who's Big Balls?
I don't know.
I think he's a fictional.
Purple's obviously Damien Barrett.
They're fictional Triple M characters, Donga and Big Balls.
The Wolf even got one. The Wolf hasn't been there for 5 years.
The thing I like about Roko is he's not afraid to have a go, but what he's got to realise is there are people that love listening to Triple M.
Yep.
There are people that love listening to 3RW.
And there's people that love listening to Footology.
Exactly. Roko's just got to realise that not everything's got to be tailored for him.
He's passionate. I'll give him that.
All right, let's give some awards next. Awards time, gentlemen. Let's race through them because we're already heading for the world's longest show of Richo Brownie and Hummer.
Best
Richo.
First. Yep.
Well, let's have a look at the recap maybe just before we do. The best, the Bont, Petraka leading as you'd expect. Tex Walker on 6, the Swans on 6, Darcy Parish on 5. While for the worst, we're having a look at Collingwood on 13. St Kilda joins them on 13. West Coast 9, Geelong 6, Hawthorne 6, Kane Corn 6, and Christo just starting to slowly sneak up the leaderboard.
I love how best Cornsy.
I'm going to give one vote this week to Aaron Norton. I know he only kicked one goal 5, but
what do you have? 14 marks.
Yeah, 13 marks and 9 of them contested. So Aaron Norton, one vote. I got 2 votes to Rory Led. 40 disposals. Is he flying at the moment at Adelaide? And a player from that game, 3 votes to come back in after not playing since round 2 and kick 6 goals. Jamie Elliott was unbelievable.
He was. I gave one to Liam Ryan. He was just a class above everyone else on the ground up at the SCG. 2 to Dustin Martin. I just think now whenever there's a big game and there's a crowd there and you know he's going to produce, Dusty. 3 goals and 20-odd disposals. Probably should have won best on Yuken. And I gave Jamie Elliott 3 as well, Nate.
The worst ons, the worst, the Hummers. So I gave one vote to St Kilda's goal kicking. It's cost them a game again. Obviously, Jack Higgins was the perpetrator this week, but probably would have been best on ground if he hadn't missed those goals.
At least
goals.
He's getting the ball.
But they're losing games because of their goal kicking.
Yeah.
2 votes to the holding the ball rule. I did some research on the holding the ball rule, and they need to simplify
that.
He's
done his homework.
Yeah. There are 5 laws, right,
around
holding the ball, and 2 sub-laws underneath those.
Too hard.
I think we just need 1 standard law and 3 votes to Carlton. That's why they're having a review. That's why, obviously, Johnny Barker's out of the club already. They're having a look at the whole football club. They should never have lost to West Coast with who West Coast had out. So Carlton are going nowhere at the moment, but I reckon they're a good list if someone like a Ross Lyon wanted to take him over.
Yeah, I reckon he'd have a look at that. One to Dane Zorko. He slept Brisbane down. That was just silly.
Yeah, it was stupid.
The captain, he's got a week. He's having a good season, so that was unnecessary. Hitting Tom McDonald. 2 to Mark Robinson.
Rob.
Robbo's got 2 votes. When
Herald Sun, Mark Robinson.
Yeah, when are people going to realise that it's not Shy Bolton, it's Shea Bolton? Mm.
It's been a bit of a bugbear.
It does look like Shy, though.
But seriously, if you're the chief footy writer of the Herald Sun and you're on a TV show every night, you should know that his name is Shay, not Shy. And Carlton, 3 votes.
It does. I will give him a chop out. It does look like Shy. It's like saying my name's pronounced Tom, but it's spelled Richard.
Has he been in the news a little bit this year for his footy and the other incident that occurred? He's been in the news a lot. People should know now that his name is Shay.
I agree.
All right, let's look at the next week's games. That is the worst throw that I have.
It's all right. What are we looking at, Hum?
Let's race through it. Port Adelaide versus Geelong. This is going to be an absolute blockbuster. $1.77 to Port, Geelong $2.10, assuming this one's getting played in Adelaide.
Got a poor record against top eight teams this year, Port. I think they're 1-3 for top eight teams. So I know it's at their home ground, but I like Geelong. I think Geelong are going better at the moment, and I think they'll win this game.
I like Geelong too.
West Coast versus Richmond.
I can't believe Richmond are $1.65. Yeah.
$1.65. Richmond should be bigger than that.
I know West Coast have got a few out, but I think they'll get Oscar Allen back this week. They'll get a couple more back.
Yep.
I think McGovern's a chance, a slim chance. So back at home at Optus Stadium.
They're playing that well, though, aren't they?
They're not. I think Richmond will win the game, but I think it should be a bit closer than that.
Yeah, 50-51 for me. Look, if I'm a betting man, I think if the plus line got bigger there, I'd be taking it for the Tigers because I think it'll be tight, but I think Richmond just win.
And the final game, and I am going to break some news right now. Nathan Buckley has just been sacked. He is gone.
Is he standing down? That's two different things.
They are very different things.
That's semantics.
Anyway,
it's semantics.
That staggers me.
He's a good man, Bucks.
If you read between the lines, he's standing down, but he's no longer the coach of the Collingwood Football Club. Richmond, Melbourne $1.15, Collingwood $5.50. Can you see any upset?
This is at the SCG, this game. I think Melbourne win and comfortably, but that's really disappointing news for Nathan Buckley.
I don't know how comfortably they do win this game. He's a favourite son
at that club.
I think Melbourne win, but you're getting a 30.5 point head start at the SCG for Collingwood.
Collingwood can't.
Who were going to keep it in tight. Very good last week. Adelaide the week before.
Geez, they've got a bit to play for now. If that's Bucks' last game.
Adelaide just beat Melbourne. I know they're up and down Adelaide, but then Collingwood go over there and do what Melbourne didn't do. So they're going okay with that. And they pushed Geelong in that last quarter. So who knows? I think the 5-goal line's pretty big.
And the players are going to want to perform for Nathan.
Do it for Bucks.
He's a good man too. He's a really good man.
All right. Homothetical time.
All right. Yep. Let's keep going.
Nathan today, Hum.
Oh, I have done. Look,
you've got into him. So I hope you've done your homework.
I've got him typed up. What do you mean, is this it? We always have homotheticals to finish.
Keep going.
Okay. Each time, admittedly, I have done some work, but I'm scared this one's going to set the tone for. Each time you put something in the dryer, it gets a little smaller. Do we agree on that?
Yep.
Theoretically, could you shrink a jumper until it's invisible?
No.
No. Stupid.
Next.
It's not even a homothetical, that.
That's just, like, ridiculously stupid.
All right.
That's education private school.
Yeah. That's what his parents...
25 grand a year.
That's what his parents paid.
I was nervous about that one. All right. This was sent in by a listener, Donnell Wilson. It might be Donald and I've done a typo.
I haven't heard of too many Donnells.
I think it's Donald. What's Donald? All right.
Your AFL team wins the flag, right?
Yeah.
But you already know at the start of the season that they're going to win.
Yeah.
Right? So you already know. Or you just leave it up to chance. Which would you prefer?
Nah, I love the ups and downs of a season.
You
I
wouldn't
love
want,
the roller
it would
coaster.
Knowing that they're going to win the whole time, wouldn't
nah.
it?
Nah. You don't want that. Following a team, I know that you get upset when they lose, but that's all part of it.
You ask Donnell if I'm allowed to punt on it if I know?
No, you're not allowed.
No, I'm going to wait then.
Yeah, you'd wait. You wouldn't want to.
No, why would you want to know? That's the whole thing.
Mm.
You're a chance of not winning it going the other option.
You go to the pub with your mates, you have a few beers, you don't know what's going to happen. You walk out happy or you walk out sad.
Yep,
I don't want to know who's winning.
And last one, would you rather have a blanket wrapped around you for your entire life? Everywhere you go, the beach, the shower, the workbench, anywhere, you've got a blanket wrapped around you, or never have access to a blanket or doona again.
I'd never have access again.
Never have access. I'd rug up with clothes. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'd be uncomfortable sleeping in.
Nah, It'd be more uncomfortable having a shower with
I'll
a blanket on.
I'll tell you what,
on.
Though, when you get...
Yeah, that's true.
What about when you get a... We've just got a new doona at home, a really nice, expensive cotton. Jeez, it feels good.
Where'd you get it from?
I don't know. My wife
Egyptian cotton, 5,000
But just pounds? When you get in bed at night...
It's like
just,
a fluffy, goose-filled doona.
It's just the way it feels on you. It's just, man...
So that's sheets
how,
or doona?
How expensive?
Sheets, the sheets.
How expensive?
You said a doona.
Well, the sheet and then the doona cover as well, the whole thing.
Do you sleep with a
sheet? You said
you
got a new doona, though.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Well, I got
so you didn't get a new doona?
We got new linen.
Right.
Oh, sheets.
And it is magnificent.
Oh, wow. So do you sleep with a sheet and a doona?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, most people do.
I hate it. I don't like being trapped. I'm a beast that needs to be free. All right, that's going to do us this week. Just a very important reminder, if you are listening, straight away get out your smartphone, fightmnd.org.au, donate right. or buy one of these magnificent beanies.
Go to Coles.
And your best thing is these are only $20. You've got $10 left over from your 30. Go buy five or three of these Aldi pizzas. They're magnificent. Yeah. Good luck on the weekend. Join the army, fightmnd.org.au. Gamble responsibly.